so much you could do anything.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of Did I Stutter? My guest today is none other than one of my dearest friends, oldest friends in comedy, hilarious comedian, somebody who is one of the most kindest individuals in comedy. Please give a hand for my buddy, Justin Foster.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing the pod, dude. Yes, come on.
Yes, finally.
Come on,
dude. Get it.
Dude, this is the reason this is the most special episode, and we'll retire after this. We'll be done with this podcast. Is because you were next to me so many times. I had to show you so many times the setup of this studio, mm-hmm. and you had to put on a face like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. You know how many times I've seen these squiggly lines? Do you like a squiggly high or kind of mid-up squiggly? Yeah. And then every time I'd send it back, I'd be like, I like this. Like, nope, you're wrong. It's the third option. I go, yeah, that's what I meant. Third, where the squiggly lines do this, and then that's, yeah, exactly. It's nice, though. It's good to see it.
It is cool. It is cool. I'm very glad that we got it up and running now. The podcast that we've been doing has always been solo, and I just usually kind of riff in the ethers of whatever the audio abyss is. But with guests, I think what I want to do is really the reason the podcast is called Did I Stutter is not just because of my injury, not because of my history, but also because I think when you take a chance on yourself and you double down in a way that you have no point of return, mm-hmm. I mean, you know better than anybody for yourself, but also for me, mm-hmm. What that means and how that's been such a focal point of my career, or such an action of my career, is like taking the chance to on myself, making a risk, and maybe it being a mistake or maybe it not. But before we get into that, and before we get into your version of when you doubled down and either paid off or it backfired, I want to know. So I want everybody else to know, because I know so much. But I mean, you got into comedy. In Dallas, Addison Improv is where you started. We've done that club mm-hmm. many times. I've destroyed the sign there.
You broke the P. We've done the Improv in Addison.
I have so many questions. So how what is it that inspired you to get into stand up? Is it that made you, you know, let's do the whole thing. Let's run the gambit, you know, for everybody to know. What is it that you were like, all right, this is why I gravitate towards it. This is why I want to get into it, and this is my end goal with it.
Yeah, totally. So it was always like, it's funny looking back on things, right? Because you can think that like, oh, I made this choice and I made that choice. But I don't know if I really did. I think I was just kind of like pushed in different directions that led me to that, right? Like now going back, I found an old yearbook from when I was in elementary school, and it was like, most likely to be a stand-up comedian, Justin Foster. I had no recollection of that.
Really?
Right? Person most likely to, you know, host a talk show, Justin Foster, right? So that was one thing. Class clown, another thing, all these things. And I'd gotten fired from a job. I was like waiting tables, and I'd gotten fired because whatever. And my roommate was working at the Addison Improv. And she was like, oh, it's great. The money's great. You should come wait tables here. I was like, great. And she got me a job there. I had no desire. I just heard money and I didn't want to get evicted. So I started working there and just waiting tables. And it was like, but it was like the Improv, which I didn't really consider when I took the job, that like the biggest comedians go to the Improv, mm-hmm. you know? And I'd always loved stand-up comedy. Like, I would watch DVDs of stand-up comedy, and I always been a big fan of comedy. But I didn't really I didn't get a job there because, like, okay, cool, I'm going to work my way up the ranks and be like a lot of people do now, right? Yeah. You want to be a comedian, you get a job at the comedy club. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, money, table, waiting, easy.
Yeah.
And then I was there for, like, a month, and I was just watching the best of the best. And then the hosts sometimes weren't that great. And then the open mic night, were really good, some were like really bad. And I remember seeing everybody and just being like, this looks really fun. I bet I could be like somewhere in the middle. Like, I won't be the worst, but I won't be like the bad. I'd be like these squiggly lines. Like, I like medium squigglies. And so, yeah, I signed up for the next open mic. And And like I had like the local guys like meet with me, and I was like, I think I want to do this. I'm like, yeah, yeah. So like we crafted my set. I had note cards. I would like I would like rehearse it in the mirror with like a brush, like a hairbrush. And it was like that cliche thing where I did like the open mic on a Wednesday night. I called all of my friends out, like 60 people came out, right? Half of them were like really excited to see me. The other half were like, I want to watch Justin bomb. Like, yeah, this is gonna be great.
Yeah.
And I had like the best set ever, and it was like that was it.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was like almost 18 years ago.
Wow.
And I got really lucky because I still work there and I was performing there, and you'd be surprised at how many improvs forget to book openers, where they're with the contracts and the headliner and the green room and keeping the hell out. The MC is just like, you don't even think about
it,
right?
Yeah, yeah, because it's always around.
Someone's always there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I literally worked like 3 weeks in a row one time.
Yeah.
They just forgot to book an MC, and like the local guys weren't really hanging out at the improv, right? After I started doing it, they were like, okay, Justin can't work anymore. So on Thursday, all the local guys started coming in to hang.
Yeah.
But for a while, I mean, I would be mid-section. I would have a full section, a tray of drinks that make, Jesse, you got to go up in 5. I'm like, all right. It was like great. And so that's kind of, yeah, that's how I started.
I think that's a great example of the out of sight, out of mind, but just the opposite of that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you're just there.
Yeah.
You're just around it. Opportunities are just going to happen there. And I guess I wanted to ask you, so you and I, in working with each other, but also in just going to so many clubs over the years and having openers kind of come in and almost assert themselves into how the show was going to get ran or how things were going to go. Like, you know, so many times I had to like tuck my tail. I was like, am I not headline? Like, am I?
Yeah.
Whose show?
Totally.
So I guess what kind of opener were you? It's almost, I've known you for so long, but there's also a whole section of time that I did not know you.
Yeah.
And we'll get into more of this because, you know, I kind of divide that up into times where you drank and times where you don't because you're 8 years sober?
9 years sober,
nine years sober.
So there's like an ADBC with Justin Foster for sure. You know AD for sure. There was a lot of BC.
Man, Jim, he's lived for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happened before.
Yeah, bottle
Jesus.
Of cognac. bottle of Chardonnay.
So my first question is, what if you can remember?
Yeah.
What type of opener were you? Like, what was your energy? Would you hang back and kind of?
Oh no 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 no. There was no hanging back.
Oh no
no no no no. It was the Justin Foster show. Every time, I sold merch as a host.
You piece of shit.
No one told me. I had no wherewithal to be like, oh, you probably shouldn't do that.
You waited, you waited after the headliner at the end of the meeting.
Totally.
You're like, oh, thank you so much for coming.
right. He was good. It was, I look back on it, I cringe.
Remember who told you where the restrooms was?
I remember I said, give it up to anybody who has birthdays here. That was me. You guys remember that birthday guy? Yeah, it was just like sheer ego and sheer just like this is, I'm, you know, I would go up to the headliner and be like, hey, do you need an opener for next week to wherever you're at? You know, like that.
Ooh,
yeah. Just,
so uncouth.
I know. Yeah.
It's crazy because you're not that way at all.
No. I mean, I got humbled really, you know.
Tell me how.
Yeah.
Wait, tell me how.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
You know, you're 25 years old. No one can tell you anything. I'm crushing in Addison. The girls and the drinks.
Were
and
you,
the,
wait. Bro. Were you, wait, hold up. Were you a host who did local references?
Oh, are you kidding me? I'd get standing O's. Bro, I still do a few local when I go back home. But oh, dude, I was like, yeah, townie's mom, huh? Hey, you remember that? The headliner would be in the back just like...
I don't know any of these places.
Bro, I had cards. MySpace, hit me up on the space. Bro.
Ew.
Yeah, it was. And now I shudder because I'm like, I tell people I've been doing comedy for 18 years, but I got to shave off like 7 of that when it was just me. Like the comedy was like secondary. Yeah. And when it's about the party, the after party,
But that part of it's so much fun, though.
I know.
I think we all have to have like some version of that phase. No one just goes into it and they're like, yeah, I'm sober and I, you know. There's
right.
Like
if you
one.
Start that way, it's like, I'm just here to work on my craft.
You're like, what? You narc? What are you, a cop?
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't have a great relationship with a lot of the locals because I was like, they were like, who are you? We don't see you at the open mics. You're not working on anything, but you're opening for Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Every time he's in town, like, what is happening, right?
Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah. But I was that guy, man. I would be like, even if I wasn't on the show, I would talk to the headliner and be like, hey, I know you have radio at 6 a.m. I'll come pick you up at 5:45.
Do you drink in the morning?
No. No, it wasn't anything like that.
Okay.
I I'd set a bunch of alarms and I would pick the headliners up, take them to radio. We'd go to lunch after, rapport. Hey, you want to do a guest set tonight? Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, do you want to open for me next time I'm in town?
Yeah.
Hey, da-da-da-da. And I mean, that's how I worked for
years. Heavy politicking there. That's
good. But I didn't realize. It wasn't a calculated thing. I just wanted to be around comics and comedians.
Yeah.
I'd take them on drinking. I'd pick them up from the airport. I'd take them to the airport. I was just like that guy. And so I worked for a long time that way. And didn't really write that much. I had my little set that was.
And you and in your head, you're so like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
You want to hear a funny story? I've never told this story before, I think.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Never in a public forum.
Yeah.
Because this caused me some turmoil. Whatever.
Yeah.
It was like happy, but also like really sad. I had entered a contest when I was 26 years old. 25, 26. I'd been doing comedy for like a little bit. A year and a half, 2 years or whatever. And I had entered this MySpace, Sierra Mist. They were rolling out their comedy format, right? And they were posting comedians on there. And I submitted a clip and I got like top five, right? I was like featured on the MySpace comedy page with like Jamie Kennedy and Doug Benson, whatever, right? And my clip got all these views. And Bud Freeman called the Improv in Dallas to ask about me, right? Dane Cook was no longer available. He was doing, you know, he had moved on and they were looking for like the young, like hot shot, you know, high energy. And the manager at the time was like, he's not ready, right? Like the 5 minutes you saw is the 5 minutes that he has.
Wow.
He's not ready for what you're looking for. And they didn't tell me for years. I didn't hear the story till years.
Wow.
And there was this part of like, oh, that's really cool. But then this other part was like, dude, let me figure that out.
Yeah.
Let
me
move out to LA.
You can't gatekeep.
Yeah.
You can't gatekeep. That's
Like,
I mean, there's a reason, obviously, whatever the reason is that had to that was.
Yeah.
Okay. But at the same time, don't, it's like you can't mess with fate. You know what I mean? You can't.
Right.
I mean, maybe it was. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's us justifying whatever fate is.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, you can't fuck with free will. That's just the plot of every movie.
Exactly.
Don't fuck with free will.
Right. Let me talk to some buddies and maybe get five more minutes or like whatever. But yeah, so like I'm like, was that my look? Was that my shot? Did it?
Right.
But that was the caliber that I was operating on back then. It was just like kill, kill, kill.
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like the energy that you carry almost brings things to you, which goes past whatever your skill level is.
Yeah.
You know, you've just got this eagerness. It's like, you know, it's like when you meet somebody who's fresh out off LA,
mm-hmm.
Fresh into LA.
Yeah, sure.
And they just have this newness, this like this shine, you know, somehow like some opportunity happens, but then you see them like 10 years later and they're different. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's some kind of newness that just keeps you with that energy.
You need it, though. You need that comedy because comedy gets real bad.
Yeah.
It gets real dark.
Yeah.
And you do this and then you do that. It's like this. These lines right here. You do this a lot. Is that why you did this? And I'm glad I picked this shape.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
But that's what it is, right? But the beginning, you need that ego and that confidence and that swag because when you get here, this is where a lot of people quit,
mm-hmm.
right? This is where you go, okay, you need then the beginning that just like newness to propel you through the hard times. And I had that, dude. I was like, this, I'm going to be doing this forever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be on Comedy Central in like a year.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it. And that's how I operated. And then moving to LA, you have that sway. You're like, bro, I just headlined the Addison Improv last week. I'm new to LA. Like, your boy's here. And everyone's just like, we do not care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's here. There's a new boat every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask you is, you know, I started in LA.
Yeah.
And you started in a town that was not outside, that was not in one of the big metropolitans that of comedy.
Right.
So the coasts, right? They always say start somewhere else out besides LA and besides New York. Go to like a big, like a smaller big town, like you could do like a Chicago or become like biggest comic in Minneapolis or Dallas or whatever. I didn't do that. And I wanted to ask, like, in your experience of seeing that and in your own experience of living that, do you feel like that had its advantages? Do you feel like that's, you know, I mean, is that the right call? Is that the right thing? Or is there no such thing as a right call?
I don't think that. I think anyone who starts doing comedy in LA, I feel like very bad for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to give them a hug and be like, this isn't comedy, right?
Right, right, right.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Open mics and the grind in LA is the hardest thing ever, mm-hmm. right? And you're gonna be performing at 5 p.m. in a coffee shop, mm-hmm. and you're gonna be doing this, that, and no one's gonna care, and you're gonna have to bring, and it's just awful. However, it's going to make you stronger and better than anyone else in the rest of the country. And you can still be great and strong in whatever town you're in, but here you get stronger faster.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think they talk about, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think they talk about how the yes, you get so much more polished, or you get so much more hardened a little bit when you're out here and you start out here, but a booker sees you when you're new or whatever, and bookers have got an eye for seeing something where they're like, all right, well, that person's not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 6 months, who knows? In 6 months you can learn and grow quite a bit in 6 months. And sometimes I've seen comics where it does happen in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It happens where something clicks in a 6 month time. Now, they have to have worked on it years before, but I just mean in a 6 month period, something can change.
Yeah.
And if a booker sees you 6 months ago and it's not clicked, and then who knows when or if they'll ever see you
ever again. Yep. Yeah, yeah. There it was cool because our open mics had like 60, 70 people, right? And so you could perform open mics in front of, but also that is a disadvantage because if you have a soft joke or you have something that's not that strong, you're still going to get, you're like, oh, everything I write is great.
Yeah.
Because my grind is in front of a real audience that's drinking.
And in that way, LA or New York, I think, could bulletproof your jokes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I also think they could tamp out your fire for something that could very easily. I would almost rather err on the side of like, you know, you see something there as well. Like, let's meet somewhere in the middle on how we feel about where this joke could go before I just completely get no laughs at that 5 p.m. coffee shop.
And LA is great about like, dude, I'm so excited about this joke. I can't wait. And you run up and you tell it. You're like, never again with that one. Bearing it. But here, you know, you're following the best of the best of everyone's local heroes is here. So you're doing this, you know, coffee shop at 5 p.m. and you're following the headliners of whatever town. And also, I'm going to counter that, you're also following complete psychopaths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So LA makes you be like, okay, this dude is a crazy person off the street that's just here for warmth and they give free water and he's going to go up and talk for 5 minutes. I got to learn how to follow that.
Yeah.
I got to follow this dude who's been headlining the road for 30 years, who's, you know, and so it gives you this stuff that you don't get in a lot of towns.
Were you ever able to match, was there ever a headliner who matched your energy of like, I'm gonna drink, I'm gonna grind, like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I opened for Bert Kreischer a lot of times back in the day. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. My last show in Dallas, my going away headlining show, I was opening for Bert. Bert was doing the two shows on a Saturday, and I was closing out the midnight.
Yeah, boy.
You know, Justin Foster show. And he gets on stage with all the local comics in the middle of my set and has the entire audience sing Pop That Pussy a cappella. I didn't know if he remembers it. If I ever run in, I don't know if he'll, but I remember like, I was like.
No way he remembers that.
I was like, I've outgrown this city. I'm ready for LA.
It wasn't like Bert is like this guy who's buttoned up and you know, and then that one time things got a little out of hand and they said, Pop That Pussy. I think that's a regular thing for Bert.
But it's my send-off show, so my whole family is there like. Is this part of it? Like, I don't know.
Oh, no. Grandma Ruth.
That was it, too. My family, because I would work there, I would open for everybody. Like, my family would surprise me at shows, right?
Yes.
I remember my first time my grandparents ever saw me live. They'd come to see me, and they surprised me, and I was opening for Joey Diaz. And so they're just, wow. And they've never seen me, and they've never seen comedy, and they were mortified the entire night. Mostly from me.
I opened for Joey in Vegas in like 2017, and I still tell this story. I did a guest set. I did like 10 minutes opening for Joey Diaz in Vegas, and I'm going on stage. I'm talking about my stutter. Maybe I'm running at that time like around like my Conan set or whatever. And Joey goes on stage and he goes, "Give it up for that Drew Lynch fucking guy. If one of you whores doesn't suck the stutter out of his dick." I was like, "Jeez."
Is that how that works?
I think so.
Your stutter has gotten a lot better.
It's gotten
so
much better, dude. I'm so much lighter in my balls.
Right. But I remember I messaged him or something, and I was like, "Hey, I'm the waiter. I'm doing comedy." I was like, "You're doing a guest set Saturday night, you know?" And
that's so good.
And he's like, "Don't ever forget who gave you your first guest set." And I invited my friends, but my family showed up, right?
Yeah.
And I was filthy back then. I didn't know.
Yeah.
A host, you're supposed to be clean. I used to think, this is how dumb I was, when the headliners were dirty, I was like, "Dude, they're going to love me."
Yeah.
Jim Norton's going to love me. Joey Diaz is going to love me. They're dirty. I'm dirty. And then you realize, like, a lot of people don't want that.
So did you ever have someone kind of give you a, like,
yeah,
give you a talk, like, you know?
Yeah, there was a couple of club owners who were like, "Hey, listen, you can't."
Yeah. But yeah. Never a comic.
No, comics are never going to. Yeah. I mean, maybe some, but yeah, all the comics I worked with were always just like, "Yeah, you're doing your 10 minutes. You're the local guy. This is all you got."
Yeah.
But I'd have club owners be like, I'd had a club owner one time pull me, I got off stage and he pulled me into the office. He goes, "Listen, man, you get three, maybe four fucks in the feature spot." He goes, "But you can't tell a table of an audience table to suck your dick in the middle of your..." And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, you can't tell a table if they don't stop talking that they can all come and say suck your dick. You can't do that. All right, okay, cool." I didn't know. I had no mentors. And
so, what's your favorite spot? Is it to open? I mean, I know that at the risk of just sounding completely and totally obvious here, is it the hosting spot? Is it the feature spot? Is it the headlining? You love to headline.
No.
No. None of it. Featuring. You like to wait. You like to feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, my happy place is going on tour with you.
Yeah. I mean, featuring is so much fun. Featuring is a lot of fun, especially when we do a lot of these venues and people are ready. You know, sometimes you got to open and you got to really work.
Yeah,
you know,
not dude. I'm saying, like, hosting, you gotta like breathe life into them. Da da da. Headlining, they're drunk, checks are coming. You know, that feature spot, you're like,
yeah,
bro. I was just talking about this to a comic yesterday. Like, it's the best spot to be in because you can work on stuff, you can develop stuff.
Yeah,
if you kill, great. The headliner's gonna, you know, if you don't do as great, doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. No stakes.
Yeah, there's no stakes.
It's all just for you.
Right.
All just for you.
And now opening for you all these years, like, your fans come to see you, right? They're there for comedy, right? There's not a lot of warmth. There's not a lot of, "Hey, we got some free tickets out of the," you know, there's not a lot of like, "We got these bachelor parties," because they're there for comedy.
Yeah.
And especially lately, I walk on stage, they're ready for comedy.
Yeah, it's just...
There's no like, "Hey, how we doing? Who's celebrating anything?"
Yeah.
"Give it up for the troops," which I will do. bathrooms are over here. It's just joke.
Bro, hang on. Can I tell that story? We can't gloss over this right now. Justin and I are doing a show in, what is it? Was it Chico? We're in Chico, California.
Chico, California. If they're watching this, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah, dude, it is... red. I will say it is piping hot. Right, lean to
they
the right.
Leaning, bro.
They cocked over to dip in their head in that chicken paint
red.
And so Justin just knew it, looking at the crowd, and before he goes on stage, he goes, "I'm going to say, give it up for the troops." And I was like, "Please, Justin, please don't fucking say that. There's no place existing in your set." And he does do it. And then he goes, and then when he brings me on stage, he goes, "You guys ready for your headliner?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he goes, "This guy was on America." And they just
I did it once. I was like, my grandfather fought in World War II. Can we get it for our brave men and women who served this country? And then I heard Drew laugh in the green room, which just fueled it. I think this is the greatest country in the world. If you don't like it, you can get out. Your letter was on America's Goddamn. But Drew was like, there was a few of them that were like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was like,
he's messed with us. Chico, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Drew was like, nothing's funnier than a redneck figuring out that they're getting trolled. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. You're like that Jordan Klepper. Oh, bro, that is so funny. So, I was going to say, you to me, like, I've in getting to work with you for so many years, one of the first gigs that we did on the road was like Tempe Improv. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the first ones. I mean, we did Florida like 9 times that year, but we squeezed in Arizona. Uh-huh. I did America's Got Talent, and then I needed someone to be there to like open, and someone that I knew, someone that I trusted and stuff like that. And we'd already worked together at the comedy club that was out here, mm-hmm. Flappers in Burbank. And it's crazy to see how much I think, you know, I've seen you grow, and it's crazy to think that it almost hockey sticks. Like, you know, so many things in life have like a hockey stick sort of thing where it's just like something's going, it's going, it's going, and then it just clicks and it kind of just does that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've seen that with you in the past, like, I don't know, like, it's recent.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, 3 years.
Two, three.
You know, and I want to know if you know what that change is. I don't know that I know what it is. I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've had some variations of this conversation, but you know, like, you're older than me, you've been doing this. We kind of break it up differently because I think when you started to shift your mindset to like, this is something that I'm going to take more seriously, then mm-hmm. yeah, all the stuff can give you some prep, but again, it's just like generating that time and so in a way then that you're older than me and that you've been in it longer, yet I still feel somewhat proud of the work that you've done and the change that I've seen.
Yeah.
So, you well, know,
that's very kind. Thank you. Yeah, I think a lot of it was pandemic. I think it was that's just everything comes to a complete halt. I was like, I don't know if comedy's coming back in the way that I think it's going to come back. I don't know. You know, we were in that weird phase of like, is this it? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I kind of threw out everything and I really just got back to basics. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to talk about anything that I don't want to talk about. I don't want to say anything that's funny if I don't really like believe in it, mm-hmm. you know. You know, I'll do like some one-liners, you know, that, but I think that they're funny. But, yeah. but as far as like, God, I'm telling this joke and there's a microphone right here.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't act out. Yeah, there's an ice cream cone here. And, oh God, here's this joke again. I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And,
yeah.
And I really took that time off to get back to the basics, get back to like crafting that set. You know, after you drop a special when you drop a special, you got that for that notebook's empty on the first page.
Yeah.
And I really dove really deep into like taking the jokes further and mm-hmm. taking it this way and that way. And it really got me excited about the material and creating the material again. And I got to say, like, a lot of that is working with you. And I did a road trip with a bunch of comics on Friday and I told this exact same story. It's like watching you blow past everyone with material just because you sit down and write. You know, mm-hmm. you're so diligent about writing and creating. You're like, the more jokes that I have, you know, the bigger that, you know, the more content I have, the bigger the venues are, the more people that come, you know, it's like, and it just starts with a pen and a paper, or, you know, right? And I really like just watching you creating material. I was like, dude, I've got to like, if I work half as hard as Drew does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really is like popped in my head a lot during the pandemic. I was like, all right, Drew would, I'm done writing. I was like, Drew would keep going. Drew would keep going, and I just really was just like write, and I got into this. I read The Artist's Way. I don't know if you've read that.
Yeah.
And so I do that every. I do the three the the brain dump every morning with the morning pages. I've been diligent about that for the last couple of years. And that's really just like, it's just like being in the gym. My brain is always on now.
Yeah. And because to me, like, there was something that I always admired, and you're like one of the funniest people genuinely off stage. And I mean, you're funny on stage as well, but sometimes it doesn't always translate.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the truth. I mean, I think when you want to see somebody be at their peak, most authentic, funny self, that is like that is them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and you were like, we've had green room, like you and I have had several moments where we're either on the road or we're on the floor of the green room crying, laughing,
right?
You know, just from something, mm-hmm. and that is because of just how funny you are and I remember just, I think that might actually be a big contributing factor is just watching Justin go right off stage where he's Justin and then go on stage and still stay Justin.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. And even like, it makes me look at like, you know, even somebody like Jeselnik, where that's not the way, Jeselnik is not talking to a bank teller that way, maybe not, but right. at the same time, you know, he still is probably in conversation is able to dent that conversation with his strong POV and have that still translate
yeah.
to what that is on stage.
Yeah, I think they call it finding your voice.
Yeah.
And I think it just took me longer, you know, and it really took me that break in the pandemic. And
do you know why that is?
I don't know. And I've talked to people like, I don't know, once you figure it out, you just figure it out. And yeah. I've just talked to comics so many times over the years. They're like, I don't know, like I struggled for a long time. And one time I just started like killing, and then I just started killing, and then I would just kill more often than not. And then I like started having fun. I would start right on stage, and it was yeah. right on, and it just kind of sort of happened. And I was like, that's insane. And then it just kind of did.
It is weird. I mean, I think we're as comedians, we're so, we want everything to be science-based. We want it to be like, that happened. Mm-hmm. So what were the steps leading to that and mm-hmm. then after and all of that? So you want to measure it. You want to calculate it. And that's a big part of the way that we find our fascination with edits and editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just working with dudes like, and you know, and watching like the way you write and the way you're just like every night you're like, dude, you can cut my head off up there. Like you've never been like, hey, don't do this. You're just like, yeah, go new stuff, old stuff, crowd work. What, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I've been able to like, and then you're like, all right. And then go up there and like do the thing. It's like super inspiring because there's so many headlining comics that are like, hey man, I have a thing where I talk about dating or whatever. And so like just being that free to like explore every single night and like knowing like, okay, this is the set that kills. Mm-hmm. I got it. Mm-hmm. How can we take it to crazy town tonight? How can we get silly? How can we troll the audience a little bit? Sorry, Chico. How can we, you know, and it really just, I don't know, in the last like 2 years, I just became free on stage yeah. and like with the hard work of the writing mm-hmm. became the confidence in the material
yeah.
to go, okay, this works. Let's get crazy right yeah. here, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, I'm having more fun. You
yeah,
see
I know,
it?
I know, I know. And you and I have talked about that structure of like, all right, you know how you get into it and you know how you get out.
Right.
Everything else you just need to figure out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You built the roof and then you built the floor.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just take an elevator to mm-hmm. all the fun times.
But there's no shortcuts or just writing, just sitting down every single morning or every evening, whenever, and just doing the work. Because once you have the work and once you have the material, you're kind of like, bro.
Yeah, yeah, it's true, and it is wild. I mean, I'm at a place right now, and you know very well, but I'm at a place right now where I just dumped 40 minutes, and then I just dumped another 50 or whatever.
Right. I didn't want to say that. And I don't know if you've announced that yet. That's why I kind of backtracked. I was like, you know, okay. When you drop a special in a month.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I mean, and so we just, you know, more recently, you and I just got done doing New Orleans, just got done doing Atlanta. And Atlanta is where we filmed the latest special, Short King. And all that material is, it's still a part of the set right now, but now I got to.
You got to start over.
And, you know, Mel has talked to me about this so many times where she's like, I am at my lowest point right now.
Mm.
Lowest point. It's supposed to be the most exciting point, but it is the most low.
Because this podcast?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This.
Right now.
This guest yeah. right now. The lowest.
I'm going to go back to doing it solo. No, it's just it's just such a low point because we get so much of our worth from what we're able to mm-hmm. what we're able to do, and that is crazy when you because you're following the most polished thing, the most polished thing, with something that you're just trying. And so they have no business being that close to each other, that's what has to happen.
Yeah, but you work better under pressure. And like, because you did two specials in the last 2 months, you know, or arguably maybe three, but I was like, okay, I want to get all my stuff out. Everything that I've been working on the last 2 years, I want done. And I like put the deposit, I'm gonna do like a live album taping, right? Mm-hmm. So I paid for the room, as soon as I rent it, I started writing material.
It all started
coming. The name for the album came that day. You know, I may change later, but I didn't have anything before. The kind of a theme for it came, and then like eight more minutes of material just came because I'm painting myself in that corner.
Absolutely. I think we always think the formula, everybody's formula is a little bit backwards. And if we're talking about in the interest of comedy being similar to science or just like science, which I think it is, I think the world on a granular level is like science, but comedy is also like that because we have our constant and we have our variable. And for whatever reason, our constant is always, let's work to make ends meet, and then the variable is comedy can change. Like, oh, yeah, if that set happens, or maybe I can get around to writing or whatever. But if you flip it by put your back against the wall to face a very deadline that can't change, then those two switch. And so your constant becomes comedy, and everything else, not just like making ends meet, but everything else becomes secondary to it.
Right.
Because that hard date that you set,
right,
it doesn't change now.
Totally.
That has to be the constant. And so there's just, it's a survival thing. It's an evolution or an acclimating sort of, you know, rising to the occasion thing that I think you were able to hack ourselves into, but it's just such a scary thing to do.
Totally.
So, you know, I've talked to a few people about it, and I can tell when I'm telling someone this, and I can see the gloss in their eyes where they just go, well, I can tell that they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's a hard thing to do, but you have to make, I think if you want to make that decision to getting to that next level, that's absolutely what you have to do.
Yeah. It's like, that's how you and I operate. It's like, it's a lot of comics. Like once I get 45 minutes, I'm going to film a special or record an album. You and I, and me, what I did was like, I have 30 minutes. I'm going to book the date now, and I'm going to get the rest of it by that date because I have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't have to, it's never going to happen. I have to do it.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous precedent, but it's one that is it's dangerous if you're the personality type where you're okay with putting out something that is laissez-faire, like just okay, you know. And there are people who do that. So there would be there would be people who are listening to this right now who go, well, but if by doing that you could also be putting out something that's undercooked. And you know what? That's true. But if you're at all like you and I are, which I think we're very similar in that, I don't want to put. I will work to make sure that it can be iron. It can be just sharp. You know what I mean? And you know, but some people are more, you know, well, that should work, or that will be okay. And
it's like going skydiving. Like, once I get more time, I'm gonna get a parachute. Like, no, the door's open. Like, you gotta figure it out now.
Yeah. So getting to what we want to talk about with this podcast, and we've kind of already kind of meandered our way to it, but is there a specific time where you took a risk, or you doubled down on something, and from what you could tell it or could remember, it backfired or it panned out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I almost quit comedy. I got really, really low.
What time is this? Because we've had
last year. Yeah. I think you're the only person I've ever told.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just I forgot. Like you and I had like you would scale back the dates, and you know, comedy and stuff is like it's all momentum, and then it's not, and then it is, and then it's not, and then you have years that are like, dude, so much has happened. It was great, and then some years it's just like nothing's really happened. I'm just kind of, you know, trading sideways.
Yeah,
and I was having one of those. This was at the end of last year, and I was like, dude, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And I told my partner, I was like, I don't know how much I have left in me. And I think I might have told maybe my dad or my mom, somebody, so mm-hmm. one person in my family, I was like, I think I'm wrapping up a good career. I think I'm on the tail end of it. I just don't know. And I got offered a job, you know, once I, you know, they were like, hey, we want you to come, blah, 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 X amount of money, more money than I've ever, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. There's no more comedy. And I was like, I got to take the safe bet on this one. I've got to take the job. I've got to take the money. Maybe I can do a little, some sets around town when I have, you know, but I was like, I don't know. You know, that was it. And I was just like, okay. And then there was like, I heard something. It was like, you can't, it was like, you know, the Rocky movies or the Creed movies when they're like down and then like, it's just like the montage and they like get back up. Right. It was like, if you can't quit, if you have an ounce of doubt.
Right.
If you have that just a little bit of like, maybe I'm not done, then you can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't do it. And then I got back up. And I turned down the job, and I dressed ready within a week. Everything changed.
Wow.
Everything changed. Some financial stuff that I had invested in, like, paid off, right? Because I mean, I had $400 in my account. Like, that was it. I was like, I'm going to have to leave L.A. if I don't take this job, right? I'm going to have to, like, go back home and crash with my parents or whatever, whatever. Like I was out. I was out of funds, out of money, out of options. I didn't really have anything going on. Nothing was popping. Momentum had just kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, but of course, that's how life works and that's how comedy works. And that's how the end of the year works. Like, it was just like whatever. And everything changed within a week. Like, I started getting shows here. All this material started coming in. Some financial stuff that people like, oh, hey, blah, 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 you know, here's a check for this. And hey, your album from Sirius from 4 years ago, here's a check from that. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
You were like, hey, man, I've got this crazy tour in 2023. Do you want all the, you know, 90% of the, let's take the dates.
Yeah.
Hey, man, can you come do this? You know, and it just all changed within a week. But I was like, I mean, I'm telling you, I was a day away from just being like, it just didn't happen.
What was that? I mean,
and now
was
I'm
it
homeless,
just the
by the way.
Yeah, so I was like, so it backfired.
Oh, you thought it was going to end well. No, it backfired. No, totally. Yeah, I'm actually here just to steal these chairs. Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, was there something in the wind? Was there a message in the sky? What did you drink your soup and there was a, like a text? Like, what was the thing that you, like, that just made you, because like, I feel like we've all been there and I just, that's crazy to know that you've sunk your teeth into something for 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
And it can just be like, you know, I mean,
just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Yeah.
There's a thing in program called Don't Leave Before the Miracle Happens. Don't leave the room before the miracle. And I literally almost left the room before the miracle happens. I was done.
This is in AA you're talking about?
Just in program, yeah. Just in any sort of things like that.
Mm.
Anonymous programs. But I thought the sign from the universe was the job offer. I thought the universe's sign was the stuff, the shiny stuff, the money, the, you know, this, that, and the other. I thought that was the universe.
Yeah.
And I called a buddy of mine, Dean Lewis, from Dallas. He's a comedy instructor, very funny comic, and I had just a one-on-one session with him. Mm-hmm. He does like a joke punch up and he's very funny. I was like, I just kind of want to be inspired with some stuff and you know, because I'm probably on my way out. And he was like, no, that is, once you buy the ticket for this life, those opportunities come in to see how serious you are about this. He goes, that's not the universe pulling you, that's the universe testing you.
Right, that's the temptation.
Look over here.
Yeah.
Your dreams, but this safety, you're older.
Yeah.
You know, da, 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 da. He goes, that's, you signed up for this. You got to push that away.
Wow.
You don't have to.
I mean, yeah.
Do it. But
yeah.
But that might be what it is. And I'm like, okay, what if that is like right before you get to the finish line, there's like that bottle of water that you can stop. You watch Survivor.
Yeah.
You can quit now. I'm going to give you peanut butter.
Right. Yeah.
Here's some cookies.
Yeah.
And I go, no, I'm not going to take the cookie. And it all turned around. Mentally, physically, spiritually, God. Opportunity.
That's such a great example with Survivor, because that's the person who, whether they choose to, they're just highlighting this in the show or whatever, but the person who, they talk about that so many times, where like, I was tempted by that thing,
yep,
but I needed to secure whatever, immunity, and then, you know.
Outwit, then, yeah, outplay, outlast.
Yeah.
You quit, you don't outlast.
You don't outlast, for sure. I mean, thank God for that guy. I mean, thank God for that, for you just having that phone call in there with that guy, yeah, who's just like, man, here's some great perspective.
Right.
And it is remarkable how things can feel so conflicting.
Yeah.
At the exact same time.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you brought me back with the, hey man, here's all these opportunities to go and do what you love in it. And that's why we talked about it, I think, the first week, the first run. You're like, what's different this time? I'm like, I think it's just gratitude. I thought this was all gone.
Yeah.
I thought this was it. And this was like, I'm in overtime now. Like, this is extra credit.
Yeah.
And I started really just, dude, like, just talking to your fans. Like, I just started enjoying that. And like, did you have a good time tonight? Like, oh my God, yeah. Like, I started, like, that started fueling me. And then, like, watching you and, like, watching the theaters get bigger and the charcuterie boards get bigger and the cheese spread and, like, all that, I just started getting, like, stoked for it again. And the material, like, I just wrote this joke today. Let me try it tonight. Oh my God, this is crazy. Like,
so wait, was this before or after we did Hawaii?
This is after Hawaii.
This is after Hawaii.
This is after Hawaii. This is after you had wrapped up for the year.
Right.
Everything in LA kind of shuts down. I had made some investments in a bar, which doubled down on that.
Yeah.
I'd given my life savings away
to
my buddy to invest in his restaurant.
Yeah.
And I had no parachute. I had no cushion. I had no money.
Yeah.
And I had to get a regular job, you know, a bartending job,
yeah,
you know, for ends meet. And the bartending job was like, we want to make you bar manager.
Yeah.
Here's the salary. Here's the hours. Here's the schedule. And I was like, that's so much money.
Yeah.
But it was like I would have Monday off.
And that's it.
That's it.
And you become a manager who you and I know very well.
You're the guy who used to do comedy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or the guy who, that their life is that place that they work at.
That's it.
You know?
Yep.
I was going to ask you, you know, do you think that there is a correlation between developing that voice that I'm talking about, where for you go off stage to who you are on stage, that being the same person? Do you think that that is, do you think that's congruent to, or do you think that same concept extends itself to you also knowing who you are personally? Because that's a professional thing.
Yeah.
But do you think the more, at the risk of maybe sounding very obvious, do you think that's seasoning comes in when you are like, know who you are as well?
Maybe. I don't know. Because now I look at people who it's these young comics that seem they have that voice right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're this genuinely authentic. And I don't know if it's wearing a mask for so long, growing up and moving around a lot and having, you know, this, that. I would always have, like, I would always play a character. I always like playing the person who I thought I should be playing at the time.
Right.
I think a lot of that translates into comedy, where you're playing a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last year and the last, I mean, after I, like, came back, mm-hmm, after retirement, like, I'm not playing that anymore. I'm just like, this is me. And I think that was the thing that kind of shattered that mask, where it's like, I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the sets have gotten better, the material has gotten better, I'm having more fun, and I'm just like, I think it has a lot to do. Some people just are like, hey, this is who I am, take it or leave it, and then they get it so early, and I get so jealous. It took me so long to figure that out.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think you kind of answered it. I mean, because I do think that shift has happened, and, you know, like I said, it's just very recent. It's just very recent that I've seen it, and I think that it has a lot to do with just, you know, something like, you know, it's good to know that something in the universe can show you where you're not supposed to be, even though you kind of flirted with the idea.
Right.
And then, you know, you are validated for the decision that you ultimately had to make by staying true to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Is there a venue or a show that you did where you were out of your body, where you're like, you're watching yourself a little bit? And we watch ourselves a little bit when we're probably not supposed to be, but maybe something just, you know, like you and I have done so many cool things together, so many cool venues together. Is there one that, like, you know, you just, it just it like as it's happening, something maybe it's not even the show. Maybe it's something just near the show or surrounding it. Something that was like, wow, this is such a cool thing. Because something that I've always admired about you, or maybe something that has always puzzled me about you, mm-hmm. is you're so like, this is fucking, you know, this is great.
I get excited.
You know, this is great. Are you kidding me? They have cut up cheese for us. And yeah. They're different cheeses. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's a charcuterie board. You get them at Walmart, but yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
But they're ham. Yeah.
How did they get it backstage and here in front of us?
Crazy.
Strawberries. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, I get excited. Everyone says that about me. Like, you just like, you get excited about stuff. Like,
I mean, and it's true. I mean, you've had conversations with your dad, even where you're talking to him and you're like, I get to do this. And you can tell, you could tell he's proud. You could tell, you know, you're excited to be. I mean, you are clearly someone who your benchmarks exist on the exterior of your being. Like, mm-hmm. you're not afraid to be like, this is so cool. And for, I'm so internal. I don't think it's negative. I think I'm just critical unnecessarily, and that can creep into negativity. But you know, there's a learning factor that I think I attribute to our relationship, in that like you've always been so, you know if we're at 100, if we're at 890 tickets out of 900 sold, I'm like I'll go. Like, come on. Like, what, you know?
There should be 900. I'm like, there's 890. We used to do flappers. There was 8 that we had to beg to come in.
So those fucking 10 people were still at flappers.
I remember the kind of shift in you that one time, to your point with that, of just being like, I work, and numbers and shows and material. And I was like, I remember that we were in New York. We're performing at Caroline's. I was like, dude. We're in Times Square. We're in New York. You got 8 sold out shows at Caroline's. You're like, yeah, I guess that is pretty cool. What the fuck? We're sitting in Times Square on a Wednesday night. You got 7 sold out shows ahead of you. And I'm like, bro, this is fucking crazy. And I remember that shift. And you were like, oh, yeah, I guess this is pretty cool.
Les Mis is down the street.
Bro, like, you're up against Hamilton. You won. You did it. Bro, we were staying at this nice hotel in the gift shop of like Beauty and the Beast. Like, we won.
So then, yeah, I mean, what is it? So what's one? What's one for you?
I mean,
you?
I think Atlanta the other night.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, bro, that like just that crowd was like so hot, and the setup was so wild. And I just watched Marlon, is it one of the Wayans brothers?
Marlon Wayans.
He filmed his special there, you know, and we were there, and they were. It was just like this, like I left my body for a second because it was just like the crowd. We were just like this energy thing, man. It was like wonderful.
That's good. That's really cool. That's cool. I mean, that's cool to hear. I mean, there's maybe 2 times, maybe 1 or 2 times that I can think where there was like there's something that there's an experience where like, wow, this is so cool.
Oh, really? It wasn't for you the other night?
I was so tired, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so tired. And I told you that. I told you, like, I don't remember what happened.
That might have been why I left my body. It might have even been, was I there? Maybe, I'm still asleep on the airplane. Final
Drew,
destination.
The podcast studio looks great. Yeah, tell me how the podcast studio turned out.
Squiggly lines.
Yeah, I mean, I was so tired. I mean, it was cool. I mean, it's cool. You and I sitting at dinner in New Orleans the night before. We're at this very fancy restaurant. We're very underdressed, and it's cool. But I mean, it's just the big difference between when I filmed like And These Are Jokes and then Short King, the more recent one that we just filmed, is I don't even remember. Anything. Don't remember anything about it. And some people say that's a great thing. I don't know. I just know that it I was just so tired, and I'm just so like I just worked that set, and we worked that weekend. I was in New York a few days before doing press, like just to try and like get tickets out there to that big ass venue.
It was very big. It was a very big venue, and people came out. But I think we also got a lot of people ask about doing comedy and doing the road and this, that, but there are times like what happened with us when you're hours away from filming your special, right? Mm. We go from New Orleans to Atlanta is a 7-hour drive. We're not going to do that because we want to be well-rested. So let's take a 5 a.m. flight from New Orleans to Atlanta. I'm talking to the camera right now to the young comics watching. It's going to be an hour in the air. We get to the hotel at 7 a.m. We sleep for hours. We're rested, ready for the show. We get on the plane. We've been up all night, right? Yeah. We've literally been up all night. The day of the taping, 5:30 in the morning, we're sitting on the plane, ready to take off. The pilot goes, ladies and gentlemen, got a little bit of weather down in Atlanta. We're not going to take off for another 2.5 hours. We're like, they don't tell you that. Doing comedy. There's no those classes, you know, the doing comedy on the road classes. That they never like, you're going to sit on an airplane for 2.5 hours without any sleep the day before you tape your special. Enjoy.
Oh, bro.
It was a fever dream.
It was. That was a wild time. When you what's some advice that you would say you would give maybe somebody, some younger comics? Because not only do you have just like, you've just got textures to your life. You've got the textures of, like, you know, battles with addiction. And I mean, we could even talk a little bit about who you were versus who you are, because who you are now, the fucking tea drinking, charcuterie praising, you know,
LaCroix
meditating,
boy.
Yeah.
I meditate LaCroix, now.
LaCroix, yeah. Bro. LaCroix slamming, you know.
You
from...
and I meditate in the green rooms before shows now. That is not who I was.
Yeah.
I was like, like on 11 at all. So everything had to be the greatest.
Yeah, I mean, you told me there was a time you woke up in Mexico, which is just terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was like drinking one time and I blacked out and I woke up and I was like backstage with Alien Ant Farm. I don't know if you guys remember them. Yeah. I was just like, all right. This makes sense. We're a smooth criminal.
Sorry, I just hear
Bro, it was crazy.
That's not even their song.
I know, their biggest hit wasn't even their song. Oh, it was that all the time. I would just
drinking,
like,
sounds so much fun.
Oh yeah.
You get to just,
especially in
wake
the early days.
You go,
oh, I'm in Kansas. It happened to me one time. I was in Dallas drinking, and then my buddy was like, "Hey, we're doing a show," and I was like, "All right, cool. Just pick me up. I'm gonna stay up all night." And I drank all night, and I woke up hours later. He's driving. I was like, "Where are we?" He's like, "Kansas. The show's in Kansas." I was like, "Oh." Oh, you mean a couple states away?
We missed Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, we blew through Oklahoma. That was 2 hours ago. Yeah, it was just like that time travel. Everything had to be at 11. If the party wasn't the best party, I'm leaving, going to a different thing. If the bar's not the best, but the music is always had to be here. And you can't sustain that, man. Yeah. It's everything's so disappointing eventually.
Yeah.
That you have to be like, the base level has to be here. And like, this is awesome. Like, this is great. And this is, you know, if it gets better, it gets better. But it's just like, I think it just set the bar lower now.
Well,
like, meats and cheese get me excited.
But, and it's also like, you I mean, comedy, you're doing the same thing. Whether we're going to be honest about it or not, we're doing the same thing. We're doing what we do with drugs or alcohol or any other addiction.
Totally.
Pretty much with the same endorphins that high that we get from stand-up.
Right. And only one will ruin your life. It's not the drugs and alcohol. There should be comedy support groups.
Yeah, there really should.
But yeah, that was it. It was just about like going to the show, doing the show, getting off stage, after party drinking, where the girls, where the like, we would do that so much that the bar across the street from the improv, it was called Zen Addison, it was the Zen bar. Their numbers would triple every time I had a show. They would have to bring on extra staff on the Wednesday night that I was at the improv because the entire club came there for the after party. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, and now you come see my show. Everyone's like, "Can I get a water? I'm sober." Like that. The club's like, "Cool, we made $8 this weekend. Good job."
Yeah. Did you? You had to have had a point. I mean, yours was what? After, was it, was yours after Thanksgiving or
December 30th. So I didn't make it New Year's Eve.
Okay, yeah.
I did not make it to New Year's Eve. I quit the day before New Year's Eve.
Okay. And what prompted this?
I was done. Every day was just like, I'm not going to drink tonight. 7 p.m. I'm like, oh, I don't, that wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I overreacted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and there's just no stopping.
Mm-hmm.
There was just no stopping. And the next day, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm crawling from the bed to the shower so the water can hit my head because I need some sort of moisture because I'm like, and I'm dry heaving and I'm like sick. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, that's it. I'm done. Like, this is, I'm ill.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Hey, what are you doing? Come on, I'm drinking. Okay, yeah, cool, I'm coming, but I'm not drinking tonight. I would always make that.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, I'm not drinking tonight.
You're just saying for you, not for anybody
like,
else.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as soon as I get there, I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Fine.
This morning, it was a one-off. And then it became so much of that. There was just one day I was drinking like Fireball at a bar in Dallas. I'd already lived out here. I was just back in town doing shows. I'm drinking with my buddies, and I looked at my friends. I was like, this is the last night I'm ever drinking. And they were like, okay. Like, what's, who says that?
Yeah, while you're drinking.
While you're drinking. They're like, all right, can you go away? And that was it.
Really?
Yeah. That was the last time I ever drank.
Were you so, like, do you, not, you were not sober in that moment, but no. Was the thought sober?
Yeah. I could not get drunk. I could not black out. I could not drink enough to turn off whatever I was drinking to turn off.
So you knew in that moment, scary. You knew in that moment you were saying like a sober thing that you were trying
yeah.
to remember.
Yeah, yeah. I remember
it. You're trying to like come up from the depths of yeah. yourself to grab onto what it is that you know you want for yourself.
There becomes a point when the alcohol doesn't work anymore that you're in a very scary place.
Yeah.
When you can't numb out, you can't shut off, when now you're just drinking and this is still going,
yeah.
you're in a bad place.
Yeah.
And that's where I got to, where it was wow. like, this isn't working anymore. Yeah. I was like, I think I might be done.
Yeah.
And I called some friends and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And my life changed, turned around. And,
yeah.
you know, I was, again, if we talk about destiny in the beginning of the podcast. Like, I don't know, but everything has led me to where
mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it was a crazy times. It was crazy times. And I had a good window. I will say this. Mm-hmm. At the end, it was not very fun. Mm-hmm. There was a good, like, little shelf. I'd be like, I'm killing life right now. I am. Yeah, I'm a little hungover. All right. Yeah, maybe I might have missed someone's funeral. But for the most part, killing it.
Dude.
Bro.
God's up there like, he can't keep dropping these cheat codes.
Bro, yeah. Yeah. He's like,
you can't do that.
You're going to run out of quarters eventually. I ran out of quarters. It's a game over.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And then my career changed. I talk to people all the time, like, I don't know if I'm going to be as funny without drugs and alcohol. I'm like, dude, trust me.
Mm.
You, like, it doesn't have to come from, like, the dark place. And, you know, you can come from just doing the work.
I drank one time. Well, I mean, I've drank
That's
many
it.
Times. Yeah, yeah, and that was
I was there. Scottsdale. You jumped on someone's car. You jumped on the hood of someone's car. They're like, is that the guy from America's Got Talent? I was like, it's America's Got Talent. And yes, it is.
Oh, damn it. I keep slapping my hand in the Band-Aid. Fucking fuck, I got a cut there and that hurt. Shit. That is so funny. I did not think you would say that, but I totally forgot about that. That's right. Did I jump on the hood?
The hood.
No.
The hood. Just forward in the car.
You were drunk, too.
I was stoked over. This is AD, Justin. I remember everything. I remember the line to Whataburger that night because you'd never had Whataburger before. And you asked the guy at the drive-thru when his birthday was. And you told him next time we come back, you were going to remember it. I remember everything. When's your birthday? Next time I come back to Scottsdale, I'll remember it. He was like, hey, man.
Okay. Tonight's my last drink.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my last taquito.
It's my last. Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Okay. I do remember. Here's what I remember. I do not remember the hood thing, the jumping on the hood of the car. I remember you telling me.
Did it really happen? Or
yeah,
am I just messing with you?
I talk about that all the time.
You'll never know.
Like, I talk about with my softball injury. It's like, I don't remember what happened. I only remember what people told me
right.
what happened.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's this little Men in Black situation. It's like, you got two choices, you know? You can say the truth.
Right.
Or you can have a little fun with it. You know what I mean? What's better? Like, yeah, you got a car accident or you took a softball?
What if that was a real story? You just hit your head getting out of bed in the morning? You're like, that's not gonna... A I can't get a pillow chair. This isn't.
I was gonna say I drank one, not this that time, but there was a time where for me I knew I needed to dial it back when I drank and I said a joke twice.
On stage?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I've seen it.
From me?
No, working at the Improv.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen these. Well. Yeah, like sometimes three times. I have a buddy, one of the funniest dudes I know, one time said the same joke three times. It was in a blackout. Said the same joke and got an applause break the third time he said it.
It's better.
Like, don't encourage this.
Yeah.
He would just went into it, and the audience was like, "Is he fucking with us?"
Actually, I could imagine it goes that way. I could imagine the first, it's Family Guy. The first time exactly. does well.
Funny.
That second time, you're like,
not
what?
Funny.
And then that third time.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what joke was it?
It was about Stella. It was about Stella. And I remember I said, it was something of, it was that time period where I was talking a lot about the dog jokes. Maybe it was the retractable leash joke. Maybe it was something, whatever.
The dog poop?
Yeah. Maybe something like that. And I remember you get that first part where you say that first line where there's usually something that happens there,
right.
Like usually some response or there's
yeah,
a
yeah.
laugh or something.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing.
And so you say, yeah, exactly. So I did it nothing. And then I still continued through the thing. And then as I'm doing it, I'm just realizing it's not going well.
Right.
And then I got off stage and someone was like.
Oh, you didn't know it in the moment.
I don't think so. I think
that's
someone
hilarious.
Told me off stage.
That's really funny.
I think someone told me
but
off
But that could
stage.
Happen just from being tired, man.
Yeah, we've done three shows
in a row where
yeah.
I've been like, have I said this before? And
yeah.
I was like, no.
That third show will fuck you up.
Third show will kill you. Yeah. You know, can I tell you a third show story?
Yes.
I used to end on a joke that had it was a callback to a joke I had done earlier. Your boy is crushing third show. Murdering. I put the mic in the stand for the big closer. I dropped the closer, but I'd never done the first joke. So I end on a callback that they had no, and it's silent. And I was like, and the clock's done. Like, I'm out of time. I'm just like, and da-da-da. Good night, everybody. They're like, that's the weirdest thing. I was so confident.
You closed with Chris Rock's, and my mom told me to not fight in front of white people. And everybody's like, what?
Huh? Oh, never mind. Yeah, I was like, third show.
Oh,
third show
man.
Blues.
That'll fuck you up.
Third show problems.
Well, honestly, dude, I could sit here and talk to you for hours, as you know. I mean, you and I have occupied ourselves many times on the road, but... That's really, really cool to hear. I will say, just to put a little bit of a button on our time together tonight, I'm proud of you. I think, like, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm glad that the decisions that you made were ones that you made that kept you on the right path, or a path that, you know, was in line with, you know, you staying true to yourself. Yeah, it's just been crazy. It's been crazy. I mean, we've done some wild fucking shows. We've performed in a place where there was an all ages and kids are toasting milks to
Shirley Temple's.
You know, Shirley.
And they didn't tell us.
Yeah, we did an all ages show, and the club owner goes on stage and asks everybody to raise their glasses, and there's kids in the audience raising their milks. We've done wild shows over the years, but it has been cool to see you grow.
Thanks,
and and again, like, I'm thrilled that you're still here. I'm proud to call you a friend. And yeah, man, I'll go ahead and you could plug anything that you want to plug right now.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube and Instagram, TheJustinFoster. THE Justin Foster is the handle for both of those. Instagram, the numbers might be a little bit low right now. Hope we can get
Poor
those
guy.
Tick back up. I got my account deleted last week.
Yeah, it was brutal.
That's an old man thing. But
I didn't want to bring it
it's
up.
It's all right.
Because
I've got enough distance. It's kind of funny.
Kind of, but
yeah,
at the same
still
time,
hurts.
It's just like, God,
still
dude,
hurts.
It just sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah, follow Justin at TheJustinFoster on Instagram, everybody. And then lastly, I'll plug some dates here for you. I'm coming to Minnesota, Illinois. Actually, Justin and I are both coming to Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, and St. Louis will be doing together. And then you can get some tickets at drewlynch.com.
Go to
my
zoo.
Website there.
Go to the zoo while we're out in St. Louis.
Thank you guys so much, and we will see you next week.